The Becoming Unsilenced podcast is about awakening to the greatest potential you always were. Listen to teachings, interviews, and inspiring stories of others who have challenged the accepted, expanded possibility, and merged modern-day life with ancient wisdom to discover their greatest potential. When you become fearless, you become limitless. Now be inspired by today's episode.
Well, welcome to the Becoming Unsilenced podcast. And on this episode, I have Vicki Bradley with me, and we're going to be talking about conscious leadership. So I want you to stick around if you've ever been frustrated in your job about feeling like, were you making any impact? How can I make more impact? Or how can I balance the hustle and bustle and grind with actually, you know, being present in my world? So Vicki Bradley is the CEO and founder of Women in Leadership. She spent 30 plus years in leading in the corporate world, and she is a catalyst for change, an advocate for women to be at their optimal. And I just love these words that you've chosen to introduce yourself, because they're so, so powerful. So welcome, Vicki.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Yeah. And I'm just going to add as a little, we're two Vickies here having a conversation together. And I actually found you because someone was searching for you and stumbled on my YouTube channel. And so it was funny that then, I thought, wow, I got to check out who this other Vicki is out there in the coaching world. So that's what led us to connect.
I'm so glad you did. That's awesome. Yeah. And we spell it the same, which is very unusual.
Yes. Very unusual. Yes. So welcome. But you're in Canada, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I'm located just outside of Toronto.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. I've been here for about 26 years, and I'm from the U.S. originally. But yeah, I've been in Canada about 26 years now.
Long enough to call it home.
Yes, exactly.
That's great. And I'm recording today from Mexico on my new adventure of living my adventure lifestyle of working and adventuring. So it's great that we can connect internationally across all sorts of different countries. So, yeah. So tell me, Vicki, about what got you inspired to create this Women in Leadership that focuses on conscious leadership?
Wow. Well, that's a big question, Vicki. So let me start with why women in leadership. I think that's the women in leadership empowered first. So I, as you mentioned, I spent about 30 years as an executive myself, and I really saw women struggling to find their voice, to speak up, to, you know, show their power. And we are powerful. And, you know, I always seemed like I was always, you know, my superpower in that career was really identifying talent and helping them to accelerate and, you know, achieve the things that they wanted to achieve. But really at the essence, it was becoming fully themselves. And so about 15, 16 years ago now, I got really sick. And so I had to leave that corporate environment because it was literally killing me. So I left that world and did a lot of soul searching and, you know, sat back and said, what is it that I want to do? Because my doctor kept saying to me, you can't work. You're going to have to, you know, stop. Like, the stress is too much on you. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that doesn't work in my vocabulary because I love to work. And I really did soul searching and looked at, you know, how do I stay connected? How do I stay engaged? And how do I serve? Like, how do I continue to serve others? And so I went back to school and became certified in coaching. And my niche happens to be with executive or entrepreneurial women. And it was because of my history with women that pushed me this way. And one of my first big clients invited me into their organization to work with 12 of their high potential females. And this company is a like major tech organization called Red Hat. And in that experience, what happened was all these women came together and they were from different parts of the organization. and they didn't know each other. And to me, that was like mind-boggling. I was like, how do you work for the same company and you guys don't know each other? Because they're in the same building, right? And other women would say to me, Vicki, how do I get involved? Like, how do I'd love to, you know, bring this into my company, or if my company won't sponsor it, how do I do it? And that's really the impetus for Women in Leadership Empowered. So this was way before COVID. I decided to do it virtually so we could impact women all across the world. So it didn't matter where you're located. So just like you and I today, you're in Mexico, I'm in Canada, you know, you work out the time zones, but it's really a community that brings women together to learn those leadership skills that are necessary, which we're going to talk about. But it's also about the community and building your tribe and the peer-to-peer mentoring, that networking that men have always been really good at and have been well, they're taught that from a young age, where women have always been taught to do all the other things. And so this is a way to build your support network around you. And there's a lot of power in that, because you realize, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one who feels or thinks, or, you know, this is happening with. And so it helps to really stimulate you to navigate your full path. So that's a little bit of a long-winded story, Vicki, but I think it's important to understand how it all came to be. And then, you know, conscious leadership is, as I've continued to evolve, the Women in Leadership Empowered program, conscious leadership is my favorite of all of the workshops and training that we do, because it's really about helping you to be present and learning how to respond versus react in stressful situations. So I'll stop right there for a second, because I know you probably want to ask me something.
Yes.
Yeah, there's lots to share.
Oh my gosh, there's so many different things. It's so exciting. You know, I love the foundation that you have and the concept with bringing women across organizations together and giving them that network to grow on, because isolation is real. Yeah. And I also think that women in the corporate world, I mean, there's a lot of progress that's been made, but I also think that women try to fit themselves into the same box as men, yes, instead of owning and defining their own box. And I wonder what you have to say about that.
Yeah. I actually do a lot of coaching on that, you know, and that's why the conscious leadership is so powerful, because mm-hmm. it helps you to be fully you, right? And you're right. So there's this stereotype of what women should look like, how they should behave, how they should dress. And that's not what our power is. Our power is about showing up authentic. Yeah. Our power is about showing up with the superpowers we have and how we contribute to different environments, whether it's community, corporate, our own businesses, you know, at the schools, like however we're showing up. That's such an important piece. And so many times we forget, because we're concerned about judgment, or, you know, we're concerned about, am I enough? Like, that's probably the biggest gremlin or fear most people have, is enough, rich enough, like all the enoughs. And so the conscious leadership helps you to really start to identify who you are, where you are, and where you want to be, right? Because it taps into those energies. And the energies that show up in each of us is, there's two very distinct, there's anabolic and there's catabolic. And the anabolic energy that resides with us is the energy when we're at our optimal, right? So when you're doing great, like right now, if I use you as an example, you're on this great journey and this adventure, and you're enjoying Mexico and the sunsets. And so you're at a very heightened space or for your being, because you're in an anabolic state. Whereas when we get into stress, that's all catabolic energy. And so it's learning how to balance the two, and how we're all going to have catabolic energy, but it's not staying there for that long, right? Because if you stay in catabolic for long periods of time, what happens is it creates a lot of dis-ease in our bodies. And eventually, if you don't do something about that, it can turn into disease. right? So you see all these things that are happening, and in particular to women, like a lot of autoimmune issues, heart issues, but more the autoimmune is very prominent in women. And that's this dis-ease that we've carried for so long turning into disease.
Yes, I love that. And I've seen that play out in people in my own world. Yeah, where this dis-ease, that fear totally operating from that catabolic energy space. It's, I just get the image of you're kind of like pulling in, isolating, shrinking versus this energy that I love. I talk about being your greatest potential. And it's a total opposite, right? Of being in this anabolic energy and living from that. It goes to that reactive versus responsive.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So if there's a woman out there today who's listening and going, oh my gosh, I recognize I am in this reactive catabolic space and I feel just like trapped there. And I don't even know, like, how do I get from here to where I want to be? How do they do that?
Yeah, it takes work. There's no question. I mean, but the good news is, so that woman who recognizes that she's in that space, like, that's step one, right? And so when you know it's there, that helps you to start to shift the perspective. And so one of the ways I work with my clients is I put them through this assessment. It's called the Energy Leadership Index Assessment. And you can Google it. It's one of the top three assessments that they recommend all executives should go through, because it's not about personality. It's about what your belief system is, what your perceptions are. And so that ties exactly into what you're describing, right?
Yeah.
And so once you understand how you show up when things are going great, so who is Vicky, as an example, when things are going great, you know, how are you showing up? Are you somebody who takes responsibility? Are you somebody who's a caregiver or supporter? So these are different levels of energy. Are you an opportunist or a visionary or a creator? And so when you're in that anabolic state, it's understanding, how are you showing up in that state? It's the same in catabolic. So when we're in a catabolic state, how is that manifesting within us? Is it we're feeling powerless, we're a victim? And you can have moments, Vicky, of level of victim energy, but it could be a couple of seconds, right? It doesn't have to be long periods. And it's recognizing it and then choosing, how would I rather be looking at this situation? The other catabolic energy is that of a fighter. And a fighter is a lot of anger that's within us, right? And it's actually healthy to be in a catabolic fighter mindset for very short periods of time, because that propels you into anabolic, right? So it's recognizing when you're in those catabolic states to help you choose or to respond with an energy that is more serving of you.
Yeah, so I love that.
Yeah, I can give you a great example. This one I share with clients because it helps to sort of solidify the different mindset of thinking, right? So let's say you're like, I don't know if you've ever been to Toronto, but our traffic here is insane, right? Like, you know, to go like 30 miles, it's like an hour to get anywhere because, you know, you're just backed up in traffic because you got millions of people in a very small confined area. Anyway, I use the example of driving in rush hour traffic, right? So I'm on my way to work and, you know, I'm carrying on going along. And all of a sudden some guy comes flying past me. He almost runs me off the road. And my reaction is, oh my gosh, why would you do that to me today? Today is not the day for that. I don't have time for this. So my first reaction is that of, he did that to me. You know, there's thousands of cars on the road. He picked me, right? So that's actually victim energy or catabolic energy. And now I may only stay there for a second, because then my next reaction or my next response might be, oh, he can't get away with that, right? I'm going to go after that guy, right? And so, you know, you see this all the time. People have road rage. They, you know, are swearing at the person, like, what are you doing? Like, so that's moving into the fighter energy. the next way I might look at that is from a place of responsibility. So I might say, oh my gosh, you know what? I had my head so focused in that podcast that I was listening to that I wasn't really paying attention. Maybe I veered over into his lane, right? Yeah. So I'm taking responsibility. That next level of energy might, the response might be, I hope that person's okay. You know, they're driving a little bit erratic. You know, maybe they're having a heart attack, or maybe they've got their wife in the back seat having a baby. Like, I mean, there's all these, but it comes from a place of care and concern. The next level of energy is that of an opportunist. And so the thinking there might be, you know what, I really need to book some time off and schedule like 2 hours a week to listen to the podcast, because I was so excited about all the great things I was learning in that, that I actually lost my focus on what I was doing, right? And so, and it's also about being present, right? So I have an opportunity to see what's going on around me. So level five energy is about being an opportunist. How do you see things, right? And then the next level of energy is that of a visionary. And a visionary might look at it like, you know what, I'm tired of sitting in this traffic and driving. I'm going to invent a flying car. And that way I just get there quickly and there's no more fuss or mess. Or you could be like Elon Musk and you build a train or a tunnel underneath and get yourself there quickly, right? And then that next response might be that of the creator, which is the seventh level, which is that all of this is an illusion. Life is a game. There's no winning or losing, right? And so what we help you to understand is how you can actually respond. And this is amazing when you are used to being in high stress situations. Not saying it's easy, because it's like when you go to the gym, right? You go to the gym and you want to build muscle, but you can't go once and lift and think, oh yeah, my biceps are great, right? You got to keep doing it. You got to keep lifting. So it's the same kind of thing, that you're building that memory muscle to be responsive. And the more you do it, the more that you catch yourself going, yep, I don't want to think like that. I don't want to react. I want to be able to respond to situations, right? And that's very powerful, because at the essence, Vicki, it helps you to be more fully you, right? Because what do you do when you're catabolic? Later you kick yourself. That's where the shame and the guilt comes in, because you kick yourself and you go, why did I react that way? Why did I say that, right? Where if you just pause a little bit, it can help you choose what's going to best serve the situation.
Yes, I love that. And as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking how my own journey of learning to shift from this reactive to this responsive space. And when you pay attention and you learn these things, you notice how it affects every area of your life, how you choose what you eat, how you choose how you exercise, how you show up in conversations. And it's so empowering when you realize, I get to choose. Yeah. I have the choice. Nobody makes me do anything.
Exactly. Oh, and I love what you just said there, Vicki, because so much of society, we are on autopilot, right? We're on this hamster wheel and we just do, and we're not being. Yeah. And when we're doing, that is when we're reacting, right? Because, you know, the vision is, oh my gosh, I have all these things I have to do. So there's no time to be. And when we can make that shift from reacting to being responsive, you get that choice. You get to choose how you want to show up in the world and what that impact is on you. And it's easy sometimes just to be on autopilot and not have to think, not have to worry about it. And just, you know, you kind of go with the flow. But what you just said there is, are you at your optimal when you're doing that? Because we're not, right?
No, we're far. Yeah. When we're just sleepwalking through, responding to the things that happen to us, we're not consciously creating our path forward. Now, you mentioned these two words, doing versus being, and I'd love to just explore into that a moment, because for people who've been way too identified with the doing side of our culture, what is the difference between doing versus being? Let's start basic.
Yeah, great question. Well, the being is really being present, right? So even if I use the example of my drive into work, right? And I shift from this space of being angry or being my head buried in a podcast to being present of what's happening. Like, what am I missing on the drive, right? Like, you know, the fall leaves are changing right now, and being immersed in that and seeing, hearing, smelling everything that's happening versus when we're doing, that's when we're on that autopilot, right? Because it's like the box. Can we take it off? Can we take it off? And if we don't slow that down, we miss a lot of opportunity. We miss a lot of life because we are so busy doing that we're not even seeing, right? Like, you know, you hear this a lot with parents. They'll say, oh my gosh, how did my kids get so big, right? And part of that is because we are busy doing, because we're running them to, you know, different events and we're working and there's all of these things that are happening in our lives that we don't take the time sometimes to just sit with it and be with it. Or, you know, another example is, you know, especially in North America, when we get that week off, it's like, you know, we are trying to recharge from months and months and months and months of doing, right? And so it's learning how to do less and be more, if that makes sense, right? And so it's picking, right? Like, what are the things that are sort of the must-dos? Because every time you are saying yes to somebody else, you're actually saying no to you. And so it is being in alignment with what you are and who you are to help anchor you, really, so that you're living more purposefully.
Yes. And actually, I want to add on to that, because when you operate from a state of being and being present and you're conducting your work, your day, your work, your life, your kids from that being, your battery doesn't drain the same way it does when you're operating from doing. So you find yourself being able to be more energized. And when you take that week off, it's not because you're burned out, crazy, needing to recharge, but it's because you're ready to continue to reinvigorate and reinvest.
Absolutely. That's so powerful what you just said. And you're absolutely right. And if we're not aware of that, like if we're just running, where in that running do you have the opportunity to create, right? Yeah. And create comes in lots of different ways, but creating that space. And also just to add on to what you said there is that when you're being, time is not relevant.
Yeah.
Right. Cause things do come together when you're being. It's like power versus force, right? So right. When we're doing, we're forcing. And when we're being, we're in our own power.
Yes.
And it sounds counterproductive, but it's the reality of what happens. And so if you can get yourself to that space, you actually are more creative, more productive, because you've allowed space to do so.
Right. Because I think there's a myth that if I just be, well, I'm not going to get anything done.
Right.
And there's a phrase that one of my coaches has used with me about slowing down to speed up.
Yes.
Because exactly. When we take that breath, and this is what you were talking about, the forcing, when we're just doing, we're just trying to force all the pieces to go together. But when we take that moment to step back and be and look at that broader expanse, things, we can see how things come together in a much easier way. That's the tapping into all of that creative part of our powerful brain and all the neuroscience things that happen when we can relax a little bit.
Exactly. And I saw this somewhere recently that if you take the word reactive and you re-scramble the words, it's creative. right? So if, when we stop being so reactive, it allows us the opportunity to be creative.
Yeah.
And that's such an important piece. And I'll be honest, like, you know, my 30-year journey as an executive, that is what happens because I was so focused on doing and driving and the force, right? And my body took a toll and my body just said, no more. You're not going to do that anymore. And I didn't listen in the beginning and I kept pushing. And the work that I've done, because I practice the conscious leadership all the time. And the work that I've done with that has actually helped me. My doctors are actually impressed that they're like, how have you, because I went from not even being able to walk to thriving. Like I'm paddleboarding, I'm golfing, I walk all the time, like all of these things, but I had to do a complete shift in how that stress was impacting me and start to look at it that, you know, okay, so yeah, that is, I mean, yeah, it's challenging, it's stressful, all of those things, but how do I choose to look at this, right? And so we have that power within us that we can start to make those choices to look at it differently, to shift our perspective. Because, I mean, just because we're brought up thinking one way, it doesn't mean we have to continue to think that way, right?
That's right, right, right. And our underlying programming, subconscious programming, really is all about that, exactly the baseline things that we were taught that are running subconsciously.
Yes.
So you get to choose. And I love this that you talked about moving to thriving, because I think it's counterintuitive to what our culture and our analytical mind tells us, that we have to get all of these things done before we can thrive or move to these more creative states. And what I'm hearing you saying is when we stop and focus on being, rejuvenating, responding, that moves us to this thriving place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're because that's the self-care, that when you're at your optimal, then everything around you becomes at its optimal, right?
Yes.
And that takes discipline, takes work to build those muscles. I mean, our society is, and I hate to say this, but our society is created to look at the negative first. Like you turn on the news, all of these things. Like I don't watch the news, and I haven't watched the news for 16 years. I mean, occasionally I'll flip it on or I'll see stuff on social media, but I choose not to, because that's more negative. And if you think about how society is set up, it's constant, right? You're always getting these feeders. And so you have to consciously decide whether that is serving you or not serving you, right? And it's all very subtle. Like you don't even realize, like even if we, you know, we look at the video games that our kids are playing, right? All of these things have a narrative that is not serving us. It's actually creating divisiveness. It's divisiveness. It's creating a lot of stress and anxiety, like all of these things. And so, you know, it's choosing to look at things on the opposite side, right? And I'll give you an example. This happened last year. So I'm not a winter person, Vicki. So I'm very envious that you're in Mexico.
That's why I'm in Mexico for the winter.
Yes. And I'm very envious, because like, yeah, I thrive in the sunshine and the warmth. And anyway, last winter, I'll never forget this. Somebody had called me, and it was our first snowfall in Canada. It was like sometime in November. And she was like, oh my God, I can't believe it's snowing already. And I was like, I know, right? I said, isn't it beautiful? I said, this white blanket that's enveloping everything, like it feels like just a nice cocoon. And she went dead quiet. And she says to me, she goes, oh my God, you're so positive. And I went, it's a choice, right? Yeah. And I did it intentionally, because sure, I could have also said, because I don't love winter, I love what winter does, right? Like, I mean, there's so many great things about it, but it's physically, I don't love it. But you have a choice in looking at it as horrible, awful. You know, well, we have long winters in Canada, so you need to learn to embrace it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just choosing. It's choosing how you want to see things.
Yeah. And let me just give you an example, because I am in Mexico for the winter. This has been a journey for me, because I was the person who always was froze all winter long. It was so cold. It was just, you know, physically was miserable for me. But also on my own journey of consciousness and living a conscious life, I didn't want to run from this thing called winter. I wanted to make peace with it. And so there was one winter before I left, you know, I already had this plan that when my daughter graduated, you know, I was going to do this, but knew that I had to make peace with winter. And, you know, I went outside every day and walked in the cold weather and just, you know, learned, and that really shifted my relationship with winter. I'm still more than happy to not be there when the snow falls, but it's, you know, it's about not running from things.
Yeah. So. Well, and that's a great share, Vicki. Thank you. Because what you've done there is you've learned how to embrace it. Yeah. Right? It doesn't mean you have to love it, and it doesn't mean you agree with it. Right. Yeah. But it's like, if I'm going to be here, I'm going to make the most of it. And you've also made other choices, because, you know, it's like, yeah, if I need to do that, I can do that. But my choice is I'd rather be in a place that fuels me physically, mentally, emotionally, and not, you know, not all of us can have that escape and go, but you can find other ways to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about your conscious leadership program for women that takes these women from responsive to reactive.
That's
I said that the wrong way.
That's okay. Yes. I knew what you meant. Yes. Reactive to responsive. So, so it's a 12-week course. And those first couple of weeks, what we do is everybody who participates goes through that energy leadership assessment that I was talking about. And that's a one-on-one, you know, really, it's an intensive assessment, because it really gives you a great understanding of how you are showing up in the world. And, you know, sometimes people will react and they're like, I'm not a victim. I don't show up that way. And so there's a lot of uncovering. And so it's like that onion, right, that you're peeling back. So it's a lot of uncovering of, you know, where those thoughts potentially might be coming from, and understanding you don't have to keep them, right? But it's understanding where they come from. So that's the first couple of weeks, because it takes time, right? Because it's about an hour and a half debrief with each person. But then we move into weekly sessions for the next like 9 weeks. But, you know, it's the purpose of it is to build community, to build those relationships, to, you know, meet other great women. And then we really work on things like how to build trust, right? Trust is a big component to where people either react or respond. And so we have two modules that we really focus on how to build trust. In that, you also are learning how to have your voice, right? So being very conscious of words that you choose and how those words take on meaning. And so there's a lot of examples that we go through, but then a lot of peer-to-peer coaching and one-on-one coaching from me as well. Then we walk through all of the different levels of energy and practicing those levels of energy. So if you're put into these particular types of situations, how do you choose to respond, right? We spend a whole module on how we make decisions, right? Because that's the impetus of the reacting or responding. And so it's understanding how you make decisions. So we actually work through weeks of practice. There's theory, there's, you know, where I'm doing a lot of the talking and educating, but there's also practicum sessions. They have homework. And then they'll have a peer partner where they actually work and develop a relationship with somebody else in the group. So it's a very powerful experience. And then the end result basically is building that confidence that, you know, you know that you get to choose how you want to show up. And it's having an accountability partner. So your peer then becomes your lifelong accountability partner. So when things are, you know, you're reacting, for an example, you pick up the phone and you call that person and say, you know, here's what's going on. I know I'm reacting, but maybe you can walk me through or tell me your thoughts on this. So it's really bringing together amazing individuals to help each other build those muscles consistently and for it to be sustainable. So that's kind of in a nutshell.
Yeah. I love how you partner the coaching, the peer-to-peer mentoring, the skill building. And I feel like I'm missing one more pillar in there, the networking maybe.
So it's coaching, networking, peer-to-peer mentoring, and this soft skills development. And then networking is important because you don't know where you don't know how this person's going to impact your life or who they're going to introduce you to or who you may introduce them to. It's very powerful. And the other thing is when you come into our community, then you come into part of the bigger community, right? So, you know, we do networking sessions once a month. So that you can meet different people from different ages and stages. I had one woman say to me one time, she goes, okay, I have met my financial person, my real estate agent, and my lawyer on your socials, right? because you're meeting all sorts of different women and it's a very empowering place because you get to share things that there's no judgment, there's no, you know, there's no worrying about whether, you know, somebody going to like me or not like me. Like, it's a very safe space to grow your network.
And what a better place to find your people than people that you know are already like-minded to how they're approaching their world. So
absolutely.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Wow. Thank you.
So when are you launching your next program?
So we will launch the end of January and we try to get through that Christmas season. So the actual modules will start in February, but we sign everybody up the end of January and then start the assessments. So it's a great process. And the learning that comes from it, like you can go on our website at www.willempowered.com and you can look at testimonials from the women who have gone through our programs and, just the connections that, you know, I've got a group from 2 years ago that went through together and, you know, they've got their own WhatsApp thread and they talk every week. And that's pretty powerful. Like when you think about from 2 years back that they're still all connecting. But yeah, it's, you know, and I recommend this for anybody who is looking to reduce stress in their life, who is ready to show up in a more fully, more powerful way for themselves, and who's interested in, you know, shifting from a reactionary position in life to a responsive position in life.
So this is not limited to one career title or career level. It's open to women of all different
ages and stages.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I love that. And so tell them again where they can find you to get some more information about that.
Yeah. So you can go to our website, which is www.willempowered.com, or you can email me directly at Vicki@willempowered.com. I'm happy to have conversations, you know, to give you more information. We do other programs as well, but that one's the one coming up and it's my favorite of all because you just get so much from it. Yeah. I would say the other thing, Vicki, I didn't talk about, and I think this is important, especially for women, because when you become a conscious leader, it really does support you in how you lead others, whether that is, you know, in a corporate environment, whether you're an entrepreneur and you've got your own business, it's how you work with clients, it's how you raise your children. Like, it's so important that, you know, how you are showing up because it impacts all of those around you. And conscious leadership is about being. It is not about the doing. It's about being.
Absolutely. I can just say I've lived that shift in my own life and can attest to everything that you have said. So yeah, well, this has been a great conversation today, Vicki. And I always wind down with a couple questions. And the first one of those is, on your own journey, how have you connected back to that intuitive inner spirit inside of you?
Wow. I love that question. That's awesome. Well, the big shift for me was really, you know, when I got sick and I didn't believe what doctors said to me, and they kept saying, I can't do it and all this. And it was like, no. And I think probably that was the first time, from when I was younger, that I really stepped back and went inward and started asking myself, right? And reflecting on how many times my higher self had guided me and I had ignored it. And so during this process, I have become very connected inwardly to listening to my higher self and trusting. Because I think that's the other part. It's trusting that I do know, and I know what's right for me. It's just listening to that. So, you know, I invite, you know, everybody to slow down and really pay attention to what that instinct and that inner, your inner spirit is saying to you.
I love that. I love that. And how has that connecting back to that inner spirit helped you to become unsilenced and live your greatest life?
Oh, wow. Really great question, Vicki. I love that. Well, it completely has changed my life. I mean, honestly, like, I mean, I, you know, had I not done that, I would have probably still tried to be this corporate executive and killing myself in the process. And listening to myself has actually aligned me to my purpose. And my purpose is about how to amplify that feminine energy, right? And that's what I do. It's like how to help others be fully themselves, fully they're in their power, because every single one of us have that ability. We all have unique gifts and talents within us. We all have purpose. And when we can align to that, and it can be whatever, but when you align with what that purpose is and what you're meant to contribute or how you're meant to serve in this world, that's how that wholeness comes to be, right? And so you know unequivocally that you're doing the right thing. And so I know the work that I'm doing is in alignment with who I am and what my purpose is. And I just want to amplify it even more so that I can impact more women and for them to recognize their power and what their purpose is.
That is awesome. Awesome. I have a little bit of goosebumps listening to you talk about that.
Aww. Well, and you yourself, you're doing very similar work, right? Like, yeah. I mean, you're all about how do you amplify women? And that's probably why we were able to connect, right? Because we both are women who are committed and completely focused on how do we bring that voice higher and help other women recognize, you know, how awesome they are and what they have to offer to the world.
Yeah. And I just want to add in there that I think that the women, maybe people in general, underestimate their ability to live their greatest life. And, absolutely. You know, they look at their life and they say, well, I couldn't do this because of this, and I couldn't do this because of this. But when you take those layers off and you begin to ask, how could I do that? And not necessarily you don't need to know the every step of the how, but just if I was moving in that direction, what would the next step be to doing that? Yeah. And not settle for leaving one piece of your life not in alignment with the rest of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're only here for a certain amount of time. Yeah. Right. So right? Yeah, that's, I mean, and there's a reason that we're here. So it's figuring that out. It's understanding what that is. And it's a journey, right? I do want to say that because sometimes people think, oh, it's just a, you know, take the pill or it's the flip of the switch. And it's not. And I both know that because it's a journey and it constantly is evolving and you're honing your craft all the time. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's also being gracious with yourself to say, I'm getting there and today is my day that I do the best day of my life. And then the next day, today is my day that I do the best day of my life, because each day is all we have. And you just make it great. That's all I can say.
I love
make
that. It great. Make it great. Let's do the best day of our life today. I think that is a fantastic place to end. So thank you so much for your time today and coming on. And I certainly look forward to our paths crossing again in the future.
Me too, Vicki. Thank you so much. And enjoy your time in Mexico. Send pictures.
I definitely will.
Awesome.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Okay. Thank you.
And for you that have been listening along with us today, I hope that your day, your week, and your life has been enriched by spending this time with us here together. And may you be inspired to live your greatest life and find your greatest potential.
Thanks for being here. If you have a topic or question you want to hear more about, send it to us at the email below. Have an inspired day.